Would you join me, us, the choir, this morning? And join us stand, shall we? And let's bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, choir. Isn't it good to have them back here? I don't feel like I'm so alone, you know.
Blessed be the name.
Isn't that what it's all about? Let's count your blessings. Start out and you will answer me.
Yeah.
The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. You may see it as we continue.
Good morning, everyone. The Lord is here this morning, isn't he? You can feel his presence around us. This is our prayer and praise time. If you have a praise you'd like to share this morning, then raise your hand. Matthew, doctor, is going to be taking the mic around this morning.
Hi, I'm just praising God this morning because I started a job at McDonald's last week, and I've probably prayed more this week than I have asking for his help, but I was running the register by myself by the third day, so that just shows you how powerful prayer is and that he helped me so much, and I just praise him every day. Thank you.
I'm just so thankful to have my sister, Judy Hill, and my brother in love, her husband, Art, with me visiting these days. Judy and Art from Cleveland. and we're having a grand time. And we were in Sunday school together, and we were blessed, and they blessed us, as Chris always does in Sunday school. Thank you all.
About 3 weeks ago, I think several people who watched the OSU, yes, the OSU wrap up of the game with comments by the players and heard those astonishing testimonies. And I was just thinking today that I think we should say prayers in our devotionals this week when we're by ourselves and pray that whatever they sparked will continue. Amen.
Randy?
Yeah, I have two things. First, Sweetie Pie couldn't come because she had such great pain. I told her not to come because she was hurting so bad. And second thing, you know, I've met a lot of people over my lifetime, and I'll probably meet a lot more. But I had dealings with the attorney about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We had to do some legal stuff for the family. And he's a Christian guy. So Tina talked to him about Jesus Christ, where he went to church, and about his family. I asked about his family because I like to know about people's family. And he had a preemie. He had two girls. One was a preemie and didn't fully develop. Now she's 16. Her name's Madison. And she's got some issues where she tries to harm herself. So I think about her every day. And I don't know what the percentage in America is. Tina told me that 3 out of 5 people have some form of mental illness. That'd be 60%, so I don't know. But when you hear about these young people that are struggling, and then their parents are wondering how they're going to make it, it just puts a burden on your heart because you ask Jesus to heal them. And I'm sure that if we go back in our memory bank, we know people that are struggling with mental illness. So it's just that I don't know the little girl, but I always think about her, pray about her. That's all.
Good. Matthew in the back. Okay.
I'm reminded every day that I worship and believe in a God that is of new beginnings. I married my daughter off last weekend, so that's a new beginning for her and my son-in-law. This weekend, I moved them or helped move them into a house. So that's another new beginning for them. I'm just reminded that when I first believed in Christ, that was a new beginning for me. So I'm just blessed, and I praise God for all these blessings. And I'm also reminded that it's coming to the end of the year. We're going to be creating a new board and new budget. So pray for our leadership. And if you're asked to run, prayerfully consider it. And I praise this congregation for the prayer that they do for our leadership.
We just got back from years, 2 weeks ago.
Take it up there.
And it was a wonderful experience. Now she needs it. Those places come to life, Mount Nebo, Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, the Pool of Bethesda, however you say it, and all the different spots. Sea of Galilee is absolutely beautiful. And we had one man the very first night slip in the shower and had to go to the hospital. And 2-3 days later, he was transported to Jerusalem by ambulance, and he died that night in a hotel. But he went from the Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, to the new Jerusalem. And someday we'll all go there. So praise the Lord.
Thank you. We had a great weekend, and I'm so thankful for Jesse and for Chris and for the golf that we were able to enjoy yesterday, Saturday, and some of the lessons that we took. For one is, don't take life too seriously. Sometimes you hit the ball, sometimes it dribbles, and a little bit of grass is pulled up, but also just they talked about keeping, you know, the eye. You got to get a good grip of that club, and they kind of talked about that. Not only does the Lord take hold of us, we need to take hold of the Lord, and you keep the eye on the ball when you swing. If you don't keep the eye on the ball, you know, you're going to probably miss, and that was, again, just another lesson that they were reminding us to keep the eye, our eyes on the Lord. And so I'm so thankful for that. There were about 8 of us out there, and it was great. One other just prayer thing that really bothered me, I don't know if you saw in the news here in Hilltop, where a minister was beat up pretty badly as he tried to intervene and help, you know, keep a fight from happening. And I just want to, you know, pray for all of us. Remember, we are in a battle. And there are casualties, but there are victories. And I praise God for men and women who will stand up in the power of the Lord and go into those battles and lift up the name of Jesus. So I know we want to pray for that pastor and for all the other missionaries and people out there that are in difficult situations.
Hi, I should have did a prayer too at the same time, but I thought we were just doing praise. I'm just praying for safe travels for Caleb. He is leaving tomorrow to go to Disney for 2 weeks. And just pray for me. God knows the reason. I'm just going through a difficult time right now. That's all.
I just like the church to remember all those that are in the path of these hurricanes. A lot of people really lost a lot, and it's devastating. My sister lives in Tampa, and so pray for their safety and things, because I guess it's supposed to land somewhere around there around Wednesday, uh-huh, with about 100-mile-an-hour winds, the last I heard yesterday. So just remember, we know who can calm these storms, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just praying to him that he'll do the same.
I just want to praise the Lord for an answer to prayer. I know this may seem like a silly one, but I enjoy walking a lot. And if I was able to, if I wasn't working, I'd be in the walking club. But I had prayed for years that the Lord would bring a walking partner along. And I would constantly ask my husband, would you walk with me? Would you walk with me? And he would say, oh, I don't like to walk. It's just too boring. He would just give me all these excuses. And then last year, the last couple of years, his A1C started creeping up. So we were like, I said to him, and my sister-in-law is a physical therapist, and she said, you know, walking and any kind of activity will help that. So anyway, about 6 months now, Dave and I have been walking in the morning, and I just have to say that I've told him time and time again, I said, you don't know what a blessing this is to me, to have you walking with me. I feel safer. You know, I had a knee injury a couple years ago, and I always kind of worried when I was walking that I would stumble over the sidewalk or whatever. And we have two paths, and he likes the city, and I like the country, and I like the woods. So we have the neighborhood city walk, and we have the park near us called Gantz Park, and it's the country walk. So I'll say to him, we get to the end of the street, what are we doing, the country walk or the city walk? But it's just fun, and I really praise the Lord just for that little answer to prayer.
He's a doctor, you know. I didn't know if he knew that or not, but he's a doctor. You see my wife point at me when she talked about walking? I said, my A, B, C, D, E, F, G is all fine. I don't need to do all that. And the thing is, I got to walk twice as fast because her legs are longer than mine. So she doesn't realize when we take a walk, I take like two. So occasionally I'll go on a walk and I'm like, yeah, I made it for like three of these walks today. So, well, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for being with us this morning. Lord, you heard the requests, Lord, for surgery that's coming up, for relationships in families, Lord, that are having issues. Lord, for finances, for sicknesses, cancer, and heart conditions and all kinds of things, Lord, that people have, for sores and healing that they need, and just all these different things, Lord, that for jobs and for trips that are going to be taken, Lord. And you know all the names that are mentioned. You know everybody that has requests that we didn't mention names specifically, Lord, but you know those requests, and we heard them this morning. Bring those to our mind this week as we pray for these things. For this little girl who has some issues developmentally, Lord, that's happening. For those we know that are in care, that need your help, that may not be here long. We don't know how long they're going to be here, but you know there's people with issues that people have visited this week that not able to communicate, and that's a hard thing. You know, there's those, Lord, who, like you think of Sam, who has pink eye and different things that are happening with him that he didn't expect, but that happens. And our aches and pains that we have, Lord, we know that they'll pass at some point, but the spiritual condition is what we pray for this morning. For those who don't know you, those who think they don't need you, that think they know better than you, that have maybe forsaken you, that maybe once knew you, that you'd bring them back. Help people come to the reality that you are the Lord of all, that you have all the answers. You're the great physician. You're the healer. You know everything. You can be everywhere. And Lord, we don't know everything. Lord, those that think that just the stories in the Bible are just good stories, but we know that they're truths from you that happened, or else they're parables. We know that it talks about your life and what you've done, and people that have messed up, like we mess up, that they found forgiveness in you and were able to get up and walk on a new path. So we just pray for that as well, and be with those who are not feeling well, who have sicknesses and illnesses that we know of. Lord, just be with us this morning. Be with Holly as she sings. Guide and direct us in your name. Amen.
It's on. Good morning. It's wonderful to hear all the praises and the rare requests. You know, to know that people are reaching to God. So Ernie was, the only time I ever saw Ernie was here at church, but he had a real influence on me because his heart was for the Lord. And almost every time I saw him, he would say, oh, you know that song you sang, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, you know, and I was hoping to sing it for him before he passed. Did you know that Ernie was in the Army? I didn't know that until he had passed. But this song is about a young man that enlisted in the Army and how someone died for him. And we all need to know that someone died for us, and that was Jesus Christ. And we need to open our heart to accept that gift that he gave. He was a troubled kid in and out of jail, till his daddy said, this is the last time I'll pay bail. So he enlisted in the Army and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the Army must have whipped you into shape. He said, that's not the reason I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me. When I could not save myself, I cannot live the way I lived, be the way I was. And every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. Now they fold a flag and attach a silver star, while a grieving mother leans against his arm. And he stands before the family, and he does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one that ever knew him was surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. Oh, he used to always say, somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived. I cannot be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. Now I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm given, God help me not forget. God help me not forget. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. He gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I live. I cannot be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. He died for you. He died for us all. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Looking at my slideshow there, see if I have the right one on there. Yeah, I have the right one. Okay, just making sure. Thanks, Holly, for doing that this morning. You know, every generation has trends and fads, and every child is challenged schoolyard dares. I don't know if you ever challenged any dares. I dare you to do this, I double dare you, that kind of thing you have. They have to sometimes follow the crowd to try to prove that they're brave, right? They're not a chicken or whatever weird thing they'd call them today. Have you ever seen the cinnamon challenge that was going on a while ago? Have you heard of that one before? If not, stupid. You take a spoonful of cinnamon, you're supposed to put it in your mouth, and then you're supposed to try to talk. Wait, within 60 seconds, you're supposed to try to talk. And then there's kids on TV trying to talk and blow out all this cinnamon. It dries up your saliva glands and you can't swallow. It can cause inflammatory infection and permanent damage if it gets in your airways or your lungs. So kids are doing all these kinds of dumb challenges. There's a milk challenge as well. I don't know if you heard of that one. Drink a gallon of milk as quick as you can, which is dumb. Then kids are throwing up. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that happens. They're doing all these kinds of challenges that are ridiculous that they don't think about. But, you know, kids just do things. They don't think about it a lot of times. They just do things. And that's part of growing up. That's a dumb part of growing up. We're all tempted to do things sometimes, but the thing is, we have a choice. You can say to your friends, I'm not going to do that. Everybody's doing it. Well, I'm not doing it, so everybody's not doing it because I'm not doing it, right? That's a hard thing to do sometimes, but we can choose not to do something. Even as adults, we have choices, don't we? I choose not to get angry about that situation. I choose not to take that drink. I choose not to use foul language. I choose not to give in to whatever it may be. I'm not going to that movie because it's R-rated or whatever you may say, but you can make those choices that you don't have to do it. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to. And my kids would say things like, everybody else is doing it. No, they're not, because you aren't doing it. So everybody's not doing this. There's probably all kinds of kids that aren't doing it. You just hear the kids that are doing it. But we need help not to do things. Psalm 19:13 says, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, that I'll be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. So this talks about willful sins, doesn't it? Things we do willingly. There's things we mess up accidentally, and sorry about that, and ask for forgiveness, but this time about not doing things willfully as a Christian, we shouldn't be doing willful sins. If we are, we need to check our relationship with God, and do we really believe what we believe? Right? I shouldn't be doing these things. It says, then I'll be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. When you start doing willful sins over and over again, he says that they rule over you. I mean, it starts to become a habit. We can do things that are wrong that become a habit, don't we? And it becomes a habit like, oh, I can't stop. Well, you can. It's just harder then. Once it becomes a habit, it's harder to stop. In the beginning, if you don't do it in the beginning, it's easier. When I was in seventh grade, I smoked. I know. Oh, I can't believe it. I did. Cigarettes were like 25 cents a pack or whatever. It was really cheap because it was cool. And then I said, you know what? This is stupid. I smell like smoke, and I'm wasting my money. I'm not going to do that. I had a choice, right? I could have smoked all until then and whatever, but I said, I'm not doing it because logically in my mind at seventh grade, I had logic at that time. I said, I'm not going to smoke. It's expensive. But I had a choice. I have people probably from that era that are still smoking today. And that's their choice to do that. But now it's harder for them to quit than it was for me then. I did it before I got started. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Doesn't mean you can't stop doing something that you don't want to do. Because you've been doing it all these years, God can help you stop anything that he wants you to stop. It just means it's going to be harder if you get into it. Looking at 1 Chronicles this morning, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And you know, probably this is about Jabez. And Jabez has some problems in his life and experiences that were negative that could have hindered him, could have changed him, could have made him different than what he was, but he chose not to follow those circumstances. 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, there's a genealogy. It just goes on and on. I'm not going to read it all. But we find Jabez in the middle of a listing from Adam to Zechariah, son of Meshelemiah, the gatekeeper, the entrance to the tent of meeting. So a genealogy is more than just a name. It tells the history, doesn't it? Who they came from this guy, or this guy. And I don't know why they didn't do the women, but they did the men a lot of times, of who they were from. In some cases, you know who the father and daughter and whatever were, but in these cases, it's talking about the male lineage. But it helps us learn something. So if you turn to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 9 and 10. It says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. So you look at this passage, you're like, oh, it doesn't seem too bad. You know, his name is Jabez, kind of a cool name. Hey, Jay, what's up, Jay? You know, whatever you call his name, Jabez. But you look at the passage, clearly it says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. So as we're reading about who begot who, this part's unique because it gives more information about him. Most of them just give a name. But this gives a little description about him in there. And it focuses our attention on him. It says he's more honorable than any of his brothers. We don't know how honorable his brothers were, but he was more honorable than they were. So it tells us he was an honorable man, even above his family, his brothers. Honorable describes people who are trustworthy, to earn a high degree of respect, show a great amount of character, more than the average person. So we can conclude that Jabez was a person of high moral fiber, can't we? He was an honorable guy. He was trustworthy. He did things right. He was a cut above the rest. And he would do what he said he was going to do. He would do the right thing. I think he shows us that we don't have to have our family or circumstances shape us as to who we are, who we become. You know, a lot of people say, well, my family is always like that, so I'm like that. You don't have to be that way. Right? Just because your family did this or whatever happened to you, you don't have to be that way or follow that path or that direction. Clearly, his brothers must have had an honor issue. Maybe they lied or cheated or gossiped. We don't know. But he was more honorable than they were. And he didn't choose to follow their path. He chose something better. I remember when I was in high school, things like, are you going to college? And kids would say, well, no, nobody in my family is going to college. And I said, well, nobody in my family is going to college, but I'm going anyway. Because I wanted to be an industrial arts teacher. I loved it. It was fun, something I wanted to do. So I decided to go to college, not because I wanted to have a certain degree, but because I wanted to play with tools and machines all day. And that's what I ended up doing for like 15 and a half years when I taught school in Michigan. A lot of us have families that have poor examples, don't we? You can think of Uncle Joe who's this, or Aunt somebody who's this, or does this, or whatever. And maybe even your brothers and sisters weren't that good examples, and they'd say, oh, you're one of those, right? And you had to like live that down because, no, you're not the same. You're somebody different. You got the same name, but you're not the same person as they are. And you don't need to be influenced because they chose to do something and you chose not to. Maybe you chose instead to be an influencer. Maybe you chose instead to get high grades at school or do whatever, even though they didn't. Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Maybe somebody in your family is spreading rumors about you that aren't true. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe they're an alcoholic. Maybe they're mistreating somebody else or viewing or promoting pornography. It doesn't mean you have to follow suit. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Doesn't mean you have to go along with it. You can say, this is not right. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to expose myself or my family to this. Like Jabez, you can do the honorable thing and not give in to doing wrong. Saying, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm not going to be around you when you're doing it. My dad was an alcoholic, and he called years ago, said he's going to come visit us. And I hadn't seen him for I don't know how many years, 20 years or whatever it's been. And I said, well, if you come visit us, you're not going to drink. If you're going to drink and be drunk, I don't want you to come visit. So guess what happened? He never came to visit. Which was okay, because to me, when my dad left when I was 14, they divorced when I was 9. At 14, I never saw him again after that. It was like he was already gone anyway. So I didn't want my kids to experience what that's like, to see your alcoholic grandfather come in. And he chose alcohol over his kids. It was his choice. But I don't have to choose to be an alcoholic. I can say, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to choose to leave my wife like he did. I don't have to do that. There's circumstances where that can happen, right? But we haven't got any of those circumstances, and I've chose to stay with the one that I married and not be like my dad. So instead, we can ask God to help us to keep from doing the things that we don't want to do. You know, in Hebrew society, a name was very important. It connected you. It gave you an identity to your ancestry of who you were from. Like Jacob's son. A lot of times the Scandinavian names are like that. You know, he's son of Jacob or Jonas' son or those kind of names you hear. It's the son of that person. Here are some names that I found that might, I don't know if it's going to impress you or not, but anyway. Tomorrow. Blanket. Burger. Jur Majesty. Apple Sage, Moonblood, Speck Wild Horse, Seven. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? These are your kids that you're naming. And they're just wanting to be like some real cool thing. And the problem is they start getting all these different names and the letters don't even make sense. When you try to spell them, if you're a teacher in school today, which Don will know this, you get names in your list, and you're like, should I even say this, or should I just ask them how to pronounce it before I mess it up, because it doesn't make any sense alphabetically. But some names are spot on, For example, Jesus means God saves, or God is with us, or God is our salvation. That makes sense for him. Adam means earth. David means beloved. Eve means life, and Isaac means laughter. We have a son named Isaac, and laughter fits him perfectly. They used to call him, he worked for the YMCA for a while. They called him Mr. Smiley. That's just him. That's just the way he is. But every person has a name, and hopefully, if you don't have any kids yet, think about your names before you give them. About how kids can twist those names and it'd be different things that they aren't supposed to be. It can be something you have to live up to or something you have to live down. And it can impress people or give them an impression before they meet you. So think of these names up here. What if a kid is named Speck Wild Horse? You're going to think, what in the world? You look at your list and you're like, I wonder what this kid looks like. Right? What about Burger? What is Burger going to look like? You mean like a huge kid? I mean, you have no idea what they're going to look like. So they get kind of an impression before you even get to meet the kid. Seven, does that mean there's six more before you? Or does that mean you're number seven out of 15? What does seven mean? Was it 7 o'clock when you were born? So all kinds of things you try to think of with these kids when you hear their name. Remember that song about Johnny Cash, the boy named Sue? How he always got in fights, always made fun of, caused him to hate his parents, and all those things. So a name had an impression on him, right? I would have changed it to something else. I'd have called myself Sam or something, and not said Sue. Or Sioux Nation Warrior, one of those kind of names. I wouldn't have used that, but he did. Here's another one that I read. I think you'll enjoy this. George the farmer had so many children, he ran out of names. So he started naming his kids after things around the farm. The first day of school, the teacher asked each kid their name. When he got to one of George's sons, he said, "What's your name, son?" He said, "Wagon Wheel." Teacher said, "Boy, I want your real name." He said, "It's Wagon Wheel, sir." Teacher said, "All right, young man, take yourself down to the principal's office right now." The boy got out of his chair and turned to his sister and said, "Come on, chicken feed, he ain't going to believe you either." I don't even want to know what the rest of them were. But Jabez doesn't sound like a bad name when you hear the name, but if you know what it means, second half of verse 9 says his mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. So his name basically meant sorrow, sorrowful, pain. Every time you hear that name, you know, hey pain, hey sorrow, you caused me pain. And you have to live with that kind of name. So I can imagine, hey, my name is Bob, and here's my brother, Sorrowful. Every time he hears his name, it's not going to be a good experience for him. Why does Miller name him that? We don't know. We don't know why she named him that, but that's what he was named. And that could have hurt him the rest of his life. He could have said, well, it's my fault. My fault my mom had that pain. It was because of me. But that'd be false guilt. It wasn't his fault. He had nothing to do with it, did he? That was his mother and father that decided to have a child. But he shouldn't be guilty for it. He did nothing wrong. But Satan loves to use false guilt on us of things that have happened, things that have been done that weren't our fault, that we think, well, I probably caused that. I probably did something wrong. A lot of times it happens in families when the kids are verbally abused or physically abused by parents. I probably did something wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. When we abuse or did something wrong, you didn't. God's saying it's not your fault. It wasn't your control. You need to believe that he's forgiving them, but he's going to guide and direct and heal you. I said when I was 9, my parents divorced. Was that my fault? I had nothing to do with it, right? But kids believe a lot of times, my parents divorced, I must have done something wrong. That's just false guilt. The blame is placed on the kids instead of the parents. But we can choose to not let that rule us and choose to say, that wasn't my fault. They chose those things. They did that. I didn't. So if you're blaming yourself for those things that may have happened to you even years ago, it's not your fault. God wants you to be free from that guilt, free from that feeling that it was your fault. Relationship breakup, not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You need to remember that. So Jabez could have fell into depression, believing that he caused his mom pain, that it was his fault. He could have followed his brothers and done whatever they did that made him less honorable. But he chose not to do that. He chose not to. We can choose not to do things. We can choose to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Can you do this? Maybe sometimes you just can't. We need to learn sometimes to say no. Sorry, I can't do it. Right? Sometimes we willingly say yes and get ourselves so overwhelmed when we fail, then we feel bad because we're too committed. Being committed to the Lord for the right things is good, but being overcommitted because you feel guilty is not the right thing to do. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is you don't need to live in bondage. You can choose not to. You can choose to let go of that, get rid of that, whatever it may be. Verse 10 goes on and says, Jabez, he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Jabez had a tough life. He could have gone the other way. He could have chose to go to the refrigerator and eat. He could have chose to go to the bar and drink. He could have ran into a relationship. He could have done some drugs. But he didn't do any of that, did he? He said, I'm going to go to the Lord, and I'm going to find relief in him. And what does he pray? He says, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. You'd be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. So you think he was selfish? God, bless me. Give me all this stuff. That wasn't his motive behind it. He wanted a blessing from God so he could do the right thing, so he could be a witness, I think, and share to others. Remember that story, Oliver Twist? Please, sir, I want some more. And the guy got mad at him for asking for more food. He didn't do anything wrong, did he? He was just a hungry kid that didn't have enough food. He had watered down porridge. Was he greedy because he wanted more? He was hungry. They were starving him, basically. But at first glance, it may seem that Jabez is greedy or selfish. He didn't say, God, make me wealthy, make me wise, want to be healthy. Didn't say, give me power, money, anything else. He just says, bless me. I think so when God blessed him, he could bless others. He wanted to be God's instrument and be able to be used. He wanted God to be glorified. He didn't care about position. He didn't want to be a king or rule a kingdom. And when we ask things, are we asking things from the Lord because we want ourselves to be put up on a pedestal or because we want to be used by him? He can use any one of us, can't he? In any situation that we're in, wherever we're at. I believe he wanted more land because that made more influence. If you had more things, people listen to you, don't they? If you come in here and you're a millionaire, people are going to ask you questions and want to talk to you and everything else, even though you may not know anything. Maybe you even just got inherited your money. But people in general tend to listen to those who possess great wealth or have influence. Billy Graham came in. He was coming here today to West Jeff. How many people would be here instead of being there? I'd be here by myself. My wife would have to stay, of course, because she's married to me. But everybody else would be in West Jeff seeing Billy Graham. Because he has influence. He has prestige. He has a past of serving God and serving the Lord. But if I was going to go to West Jeff now and stood up in the middle of things and started speaking, I wouldn't have anybody coming there. I think Jabez wanted that land so that he had some influence, so he could influence those around him, so he had that opportunity to speak to those that were there. I'll say it this morning for sake of you, Ohio State. C.J. Stroud, I think, is a Christian. And I think that's an awesome thing when those players will stand up and say, I thank the Lord for this. You know why? Because they're in a platform that they wouldn't have that anywhere else, but they have it now, and they're using the platform to glorify God and not saying, look how great a job I did. I was amazing today. I threw all these touchdowns. It was so great. Come and watch me next week, and I'll do better. No, he said, I wouldn't be able to do this without God. And those are people that you respect. Those have a platform that they need to use for the Lord, and that's what I think Jabez wants to do. He wants to use his platform for the Lord, to be on the right path, to help others choose the right path. And then he asked him to keep him from pain and keep him from trouble. Anybody here ever say you've never been hurt by somebody? Nobody's ever said a bad word or hit you or done anything wrong to you and you've never had pain in your whole life. He wants to be kept from pain and trouble. Of course, his mother called him pain, didn't she? He didn't want to be the cause of pain for others. He wanted to be able to help people to know the Lord. He knew he couldn't keep himself from evil, and it took God's power when he felt weak and tempted, because he knows only a holy God can do that. Jabez wants to be an influence. He could have been crippled. He could have went back and sat in a corner, said, you know, poor me, my mom called me a pain. My brothers are not very good. I can't do this. But he said, you know what? I'm not them. My circumstances aren't going to rule me. I'm going to do what I think God wants me to do. So why did God grant him his request? He lived beyond his circumstances. He didn't let false guilt or bad influences rule him. He asked for the right reasons. He wanted God to get the glory. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. And he chose to not let his name or circumstances rule over him. That's why I think God granted his requests. So nothing wrong with asking God to bless us with the right motive. Nothing wrong to ask him to give us influence so we can share with others. But ask him to give us strength that we can do it. And ask for his hand to be on us so evil doesn't overtake us. Sometimes power corrupts, doesn't it? But God doesn't have to let it corrupt you. So determine today to live beyond your circumstances. Glorify the Lord with your life. Choose not to be defeated, but instead to be victorious in Christ. And choose not to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us examples. You give us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us and give us strength to get through circumstances, to not have to follow the crowd, to not have to do the wrong thing, to not have to continue in what we shouldn't be doing. Lord, help those this morning who need a healing from their past. Things have been bothering them in their life their whole time. They thought it was their fault. Maybe this morning you're finally realizing, telling them to realize it's not their fault. Release them from those things, Lord. Give us strength. Help us, Lord, when we do make mistakes, to admit those and to focus on you to do the right thing in your name. Amen.
Would you stand with me this morning?